Revelation 4. We'll read verse 4, and then we'll skip down to verse 9 and do 9 through 11. Revelation 4, and then 9 through 11. And why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word. And the Bible says in Revelation 4:4, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Verse number 9. "And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the God of heaven and earth, that you are in control, and we are not here by accident, but because you put us here. And all the things in our life have led us up to this moment today. And today you will be preparing us for tomorrow. And I pray that you are getting out of us what you want from us, that we're holding nothing back. Now, Lord, as we take just a few minutes, we look into your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would teach it to us, that we'd not miss anything that you have for us. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you've been with us for the last few weeks, the title of this series has been Living with a Purpose. I'm not an expositional preacher. I'm more of a topical preacher. I don't normally do a series, and so I'm always concerned with a series. If you're visiting with us this morning and you're here for the first time, I'm always afraid that you'll feel like I don't really know what he's talking about. I wasn't here for the other messages, and I always wanted to be continuity in what we're talking about, so very briefly, I'll give you the highlights, but the fact of the matter is, when you got out of bed this morning, I hope you realize that your life is put here by God Almighty, that you have a reason for living, that you are not a cosmic accident, that there's a God in heaven that loves you, and he has a purpose for your life. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created that were in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." You were created for the express purpose of the glory of God. You're not an accident. That Colossians 1:16 flies right in the face of any evolutionary thought there is, that we are not here for whatever random reason to do whatever we feel like doing. We are here because God created us and put us here. Colossians 3:1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Now, a person is risen with Christ is a person that realizes that they've died to the old life and are risen again with Jesus Christ. You can say, "Well, Stan, how does that look? How does that work?" Well, obviously, the Bible teaches that you and I are dead in trespasses and sins. Now, this is an entirely different message altogether. But when Adam sinned in the garden, he broke God's law. The one thing he couldn't do, he did do. And God told him, "The day that you eat of the fruit of that tree thereof, when you do that, you're going to die." Now, I didn't grow up on the farm, but I lived next to the farm. I always say I grew up on the farm. That's a little bit of a misstatement, but we spent time on the farm. One of the things they did on the farm was they'd slaughter animals. And so there was a day when they were going to slaughter a beef creature. And so Peter would hate this story, but Peter's not here. So we were, they took that animal, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. They took that animal, and they marched out into the middle of the floor. And now there's different ways of killing animals. If you're in a slaughter shop, they do it one way. On the farm, we used a rifle. And so they brought that animal out, and they took a rifle, and they put it right to the head of that animal, and they touched it off. And instantly, that thing went down like the life was instantly gone out of it. 1 second, it was alive, and then, I'll never forget it, it went down in a pile right there, and it was dead. Its life was over. And then they went on with the slaughtering process. And in my mind, when the Bible says, Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you will die, in my mind, it's like, okay, as soon as he bites that apple, it was like that animal shot in the head, and it wasn't an apple, it was a fruit, whatever. The second he bites that, it's like that animal shot in the head, he's going to go down in a pile, but that is not what happened. What happened was his eyes were opened, and he knew good and evil, which is what he wanted. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. What he lost was a connection with God Almighty. Now his spirit in him died. His spirit no longer connected with God's spirit. And what happens when you and I are risen with Christ or born again, as John 3:3 says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When you and I are born again, God puts a new spirit in us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That new is the new spirit, new life in Christ that God puts in us now that reconnects us with God Almighty. And if you know Christ is your personal Savior, you've been risen with Christ spiritually. You died to your old life. You were born again. You've got a new life. And now I have contact with God Almighty. His Spirit speaks to me. Now, I don't hear an audible voice, but I know when I'm outside of God's will, I sense it. I know when I'm in God's will, I sense it. And I don't know about you, but I feel God's Spirit in a worship service like today. There's a connection here in God's house that you don't get anywhere else when God's people come together. Does that make sense? Okay, how about you? I love church. I love the worship service. I love the songs we're singing. And, you know, it's just, it's an exciting time for me. But that all of that is that connection. Now, if you are not, and I'm not talking, you're going to be careful about an experience. I've experienced indigestion, but that's because I ate something. Now, you got to be careful about an experience. But on the other hand, if you never feel connected to God Almighty, I would worry about your salvation. Now, if I were you, I'd say, God, for some reason I don't feel connected to you. If I'm not saved, save me. Forgive my sins. I want that connection. I want that new life in Christ. And Colossians says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, there's a lot of things to seek. You can seek groceries. You can seek food. You can seek your lost dog. You can seek a lot of things. But our purpose in life is to seek heavenly things, the things that really matter, the things that are eternal. And that's what happens. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in newness of life. That's being risen with Christ. That's baptism. That's a picture of it. We'll be doing that at the end of the service this morning. So living with a purpose is a purpose for Jesus Christ. So we're on a journey with the Lord. I am on a journey. Say that with me. I am on a journey. And we are. We live a linear life. We can't go back. We're always moving forward. You can't stop this car. There was a time in my life when things were going really poorly. And I just thought, if I could just stop this. But you can't stop. You have to keep going, moving forward. And hopefully you're moving forward with the Lord. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. I like that. Not that I appreciate what he was going through, but I can relate to times in life where without our fightings and within our fears. I won't ask for hands, but I'll raise my hand. Ever been scared? Ever been bothered? I'll tell you, I have anxiety attacks. You can say, oh, preacher, you shouldn't. You could trust the Lord. I trust the Lord, but I have anxiety attacks. And it makes me mad because I'm thinking, come on, Griffin, what's wrong with you? But within, there are times that are fears. But that, I'm not talking about the internal this morning. So I'm talking about the external. You and I are seeing things in America today that there's struggles out there. There's anxieties going on. There are, as we're riding along on this journey, you can't help but if you're not playing with your device, if you're not the one driving. Nowadays, nobody looks outside the car anymore. They all got their thing they're doing, their iPad or whatever. Where are we? I have no idea. I haven't seen anything. It used to be you'd look out the window. You know, our kids, if we're just driving to Bangor now, can we watch a movie? No. Look out the window. Oh, it's the most painful thing to look out the window, you know? No, see what's going on. Well, you and I on this journey of life that we are on that we can't stop, I don't know about you, but I'm looking out the window. I like to watch people myself, you know. I go places at times and I don't have anything to do, but that's okay because, you know, watching folks is interesting, you know. They come in all shapes and sizes and, you know, different, there's different dress codes for different people, and, you know, it's just, there's things to see. But that's the entertaining part of it. The reality of it, there's some things to see that bother us. And I'm afraid that we've made some poor choices. And there's struggles going on, and I'll enumerate some of those things, but I have the answer for society today. I'm not making this up. I like to cut things down as small as possible so I can figure it out. I'm not a big thinker. I'm a small thinker. And honestly, the more I think about it, and I think it'll make sense to you, it all comes down to, in society, it all comes down to what we're willing to do and believe about this book right here. That's it. That's it. No more. Don't try to, well, stand what about, no, this is it. And the other thing I have found is that Jesus is the answer. And if you will just start keeping your eyes on the Lord and believing and obeying and understanding this book, all the other things will be happening around you, but this something about this book that makes sense out of life when nothing else does. And I just can't recommend it highly enough. And I see, honestly, you can say, well, Stan, this is, you're just cutting it down. It can't be that simple. I'm afraid it is. That the reality of it is, if America would just get back to the teachings of this book, 99% of our issues would go by the wayside. But oh my word, you can't, oh, separation of church and state. And I'm not going to get into any of that stuff, but the reality of it is we refuse to follow God's word. So there's three things that have been happening, and this is all by way of kind of recapping of what's going on. Number one, we have forgotten God. Matthew 24:38 says, "For as in the days of Noah were, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered in the ark." You know, history repeats itself. Say that with me. History repeats itself. You can say, oh man, I can't imagine there's ever been a time when society has been as messed up as ours is. Oh, trust me, there's been plenty of times. History repeats itself. And they were asking Jesus one time, well, Lord, when are you going to come back? What's going to be a sign of the times when you return? He's going to say, is it going to be just like the days of Noah? Well, obviously, we know that Noah was a sinful society and all that, but it doesn't enumerate the sins of Noah. All it was saying is they were marrying and giving in marriage, and you know what they were doing? They were conducting business. They were living their life, and they never thought of God. That's what's going on. Marrying and giving in marriage, going to business, doing that. Those things, oh my word, how awful to get married. Of course not. It's just saying they were living their life, but they wanted nothing to do with God Almighty. And he was out of the subject, out of the system. And as Noah went around and he talked to him, said there's a flood coming, the flood coming, the flood coming. You know, and in their defense, they'd never seen rain before. The moisture of the ground watered the earth. They lived in a greenhouse type atmosphere before the flood. It was nothing like the world that you and I see today. It was very different. And Noah says, God's going to bring a flood. God's going to bring judgment. And they're saying, really? And he never won a convert in 120 years of preaching. I'll tell you what, that's discouraging. How about you? I'd say, Lord, I'm not called to preach. This isn't working. But the reality of it was they had no interest. They had forgotten God. That's what it was like then, and that's what it's like now. Not only had they forgotten God then, what we have done, when we're not forgotten God, if we want to think about God, we've made up a new God, we have fabricated God. Professing themselves to be wise in Romans 1:22-23, they became fools and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image maker like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. We have decided that we're not made in the image of God. God is made in the image of us. We've changed it around so that whatever we want God to be, that's what God is. Oh, God's a God of love. God's not a God of judgment. God wouldn't do that sort of thing. Well, whatever God you're turning your God into is not the God of this book right here. You need to understand God is sovereign, God is just, God is holy, God is unchanging. And whatever he was 6,000 years ago is exactly what he is today. And when you and I want to redefine who God is, God's not changing. That's the way it is. And so we try to make up this best buddy God that's our pal, that whenever we need him, we call on him. And when we don't need him, we never talk to him. And when crisis comes, we holler out, "Oh, God bless America." And God say, "Hello, who are you? I haven't heard from you before. Oh, you're my buddy, you're my friend." No, we fabricated God, and that's not how God operates. God's a holy God, and you need to get to know him and obey him and follow his commands, not your own. And the question that needs to be asked is God, is the God you know the God that, how do I want to say this? We have made God is either in his own image or he's in our image. And I'll tell you what, God's not in our image. God is in his own image. We are made in the image of God. God is not made in the image of us. The other question that needs to be asked is, are we here for the glory of God, or is God here for the glory of us? And I'm afraid the God that America wants to serve is the God that they want to be for the glory of them. That we'll call you when we need you, but when we don't need you, for heaven's sake, stay out of my life. Isn't that how it is? Number one, we've forgotten God. If we haven't forgotten him, we've tried to make him into our own image. And then lastly is where 2 Timothy talks about we have forsaken God. And preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort in all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I want to stop for just a second. I'll tell you what, I don't know of a time ever in the ministry, in my life, where sound doctrine is just, nobody wants to talk about doctrine anymore. Nobody wants to talk about solid teaching from the Word of God. We want to change everything to make it fit what we want to do. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. If you listen to Ravi Zacharias this morning as you were coming to church, he made the statement of the gentleman over in Russia, he said his name, that gave the nuclear bomb to Russia. And it was in his own words where he said, "I used to think the nuclear bomb was the most powerful thing in the universe." And this is a Russian speaking. But he said, "I've come to realize the most powerful thing in the universe is truth." And I couldn't agree more. The most powerful weapon you and I have is not to kind of work around the issues, try to be unoffensive, try to love people, and we are to love people, but we've gotten so careful in our talk, in our walk, in our interaction with other people, that we want so much to not be offensive, we never get to the truth. We always, someday, boy, I'm going to talk to that person. Someday I'm going to talk to them about heaven and hell. But right now, I don't want to offend them. And I'd just like to ask the question, at what point are we going to get to the truth? And I'm saying to you, the truth is the most important thing that we have. And when we have the truth, we have the answers. And it's time for us to stop being careful and just start sharing the truth and let God take care of the hearts, whether they're offended or not. Obviously love them, share the truth. We've forsaken God. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Falling away refers to the defection of truth, defection from the truth, and we're certainly there. As Paul said, there are fightings without. We are witnesses to the division in our country of moral versus immoral. Theism versus atheism, heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, lesbian, transgender, vegan, vegetarian, nothingarian, and the list goes on and on, whatever it is. Let's just, you be you, I'll be me, and society has become so fractionalized that we've defected from the truth and we're no longer interested in it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Really? Well, that can't be. No. If I live for the Lord and I love the Lord and I attend church and I tithe and I'm a good guy, God's going to protect me. Isn't that what we preach? It's wrong. There's no protection for the Christian in this life. Yea, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's the truth. That's what we should expect. We should expect that in the last days there'll be fewer and fewer people interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should expect that as time goes on, more people won't be coming to church. Fewer people will be coming to church because they're less interested in the truth and more interested in following people that will say what they want to hear. We've lost people in this church because we've taken certain stands on alcohol and things that we just think are right, and they don't want to hear it. So they'll go somewhere where they know for sure the pastor is not against those things and they like it there better. You know what? Every now and then, if you can come to the Cornerstone Baptist Church week after week after week after week and not once be offended about anything I say, either you've got a heart problem or I'm pathetic. Okay? And I'll just say probably I'm pathetic. But every now and then, you ought to go home and say, "Ugh, I didn't like that." Because I know one thing, some of the things I say, I don't like. Really? Because what I'm telling you this morning, and this is where I struggled with this, and I talked to Emily about it, and every now and then, you know, I can't sit at a desk. I'm tempted to. Donald Rumsfeld used to have a desk that he stood at, and I don't know if he still has that or not. He's getting older now, but I'm thinking maybe if I had a desk that I stood at, I'd do better. But I get a thought in my mind, and then I have to move, and I'm walking around, and you know, and it looks like I'm not preparing, but I am. I'm thinking. And so Emily says, "What are you thinking?" And I'm thinking, "I got a problem." And she said, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, the reality of it is I want you to go, man, is it great being a Christian? Is it great being a Christian? We love this. I love this. I love being a Christian." Say that with me. I love being a Christian. So for me, I want to be that motivational speaker that when you leave church, "Wow, that was great. I just love that message. That pastor, he's the greatest guy. I feel so infused with love of the Lord." That's what I want. Do you feel that way this morning? No. Okay. But I want you to be excited about the Christian life. But the reality of it is, if without a revival in America today, we're not headed for better, we're headed for worse. And I said, my problem is that it doesn't look like things are going to get better. I don't like saying this. I don't like this. And if you're offended by it, I understand, because I ain't crazy about it either. But if you look at life, and you look at this life, the exit tends to get messy. It's rare. Every now and then someone will come to me and say, "Did you hear about so-and-so? They died in their sleep last night." It's rare, but you hear about that. And if I know so-and-so and I know so-and-so knew the Lord, my first thought is, "Well, good for them." So, well, that's not right. Yes, it is. They went to heaven. They didn't have to suffer in a nursing home or whatever. But in most cases, you and I recognize in most cases, we've all commiserated, and I can't emphasize enough the agony we go through when a loved one looks like they're leaving this earth, and it's rarely smooth. Isn't that true? And I'm afraid that society as a whole is going through that same process that individuals go through, that the reality of it is that the exit could get messy before Christ returns. And that bothers me. Because here we are, and we're on this journey, and we're coming into this tunnel, and it could be getting really dark. And we don't know, well, we know what's on the other side, but we don't know how difficult it's going to be, and there's storms going on out there, and there's trouble going on. And And I've gotten away from my notes, but that's the trouble. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You hear a lot of terms, fake. Ever hear of fake news? Okay? Well, and I'm not trying to be political, but the reality of it is, you know what? There's an awful lot of fake news going on in churches. There's an awful lot of untruth going on in churches, of pastors that just want to make folks feel real good. And boy, that was so good. I can remember a particular preacher that's no longer on this side of the sod, if I can say that. I don't believe he knew the Lord. I think he was lost. He could draw quite a crowd. And I was talking to someone one time about him and used his name, mentioned so-and-so, and their comeback was, he sure knows how to work a crowd. Well, you know what? Working a crowd won't get you to heaven. Knowing Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. And the truth of the matter is that earth is not heaven. Where we are, we want to listen. We live a good life. I will leave here this afternoon, and I'll go home, and I'll have macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. And I'm telling you, that's the menu in heaven. Trust me, okay? I'm not kidding. Right now, I'm just enjoying the ride. I can't emphasize enough how good God has been to me. And we get so caught up in how good it is. I haven't talked to my father, but he hinted to me earlier during the service that maybe he's bought a new pickup truck. And I'm thinking, this is great. You know, this stuff is, we love this stuff. But I'll tell you what, this ain't heaven. And there's a good chance that you're going to come to a bend in the road, and it's not going to go well, and it's going to be a struggle. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It could be physical, it could be emotional, I don't know, it could be financial. But I'll tell you what, if you're having a great day today, enjoy it, because trouble's coming. Oh, well, boy, this is a fun message, isn't it? Number one, earth is not heaven. Number two, the exit will get messy. I've already said that. Number three, God's word and faith in him will sustain us. Did you hear me? God's word and faith in him will sustain us. Now I'm going to read a story and you're not going to like it. Adoniram Judson was a missionary who served in Burma. He was arrested and falsely accused of being an enemy agent. Imprisoned in a tiny cell, he was forced to stand so others could lie down and sleep. The sun was unbearably hot, and since they were not allowed to bathe, the stench was horrible. One day, the officials decided prison was not enough punishment for this infidel, so they hoisted Judson into the air by his thumbs. Pain filled every fiber of his body. When he was returned to his cell, his wife, Anne, would creep in after dark and whisper to him, "Hang on, Adoniram. God will give us the victory." Week after torturing week, Anne would come by every night to encourage him with the same words, "Hang on, Adoniram. God will give us the victory." One night she didn't come. Another night passed without a sign of her returning. Weeks went by and his loneliness grew to an unbearable level. No one told him that Anne was dying. Months later, he was released. A man whose body was so broken, it was a miracle that he could walk. He began his search for his beloved wife, returning to the place where they used to live. As he limped toward his home, he saw a child sitting in the dirt. A little girl so covered with filth, he failed to recognize her as his own daughter. He picked her up and staggered into the tent, his eyes squinting through the darkness. It was there he saw her, a bundle of bones and rags lying on a cot, so weak and frail that she looked like a skeleton. It was his Anne, her beautiful hair fallen out and her bright blue eyes staring blankly at nothing. Hugging his daughter to his chest, he knelt down and wept, calling her name over and over, "Anne. Anne, Anne, oh my darling Anne." His hot tears fell on her face, and slowly her eyes began to move with recognition. She struggled to speak, and her last words were, "Hang on, Adoniram, God will give us the victory." That day, Adoniram Judson lost his sweetheart, but not his faith. He lost his loved one, but not his courage. He began to preach again and soon was building churches. When he died, he left scores of churches and hundreds of Christian converts in that Muslim nation. Now, I share that story because somewhere in the writing of the record of our God, we have falsely come to believe that no bad thing will happen to those that live for him. Of the Apostle Peter, John spoke it was written in John, Jesus spoke, "Verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Say that with me. Follow me. Here's the deal. None of us get out of here alive. Every one of us are going to die. How that's going to go, I have no idea. I'm hoping to get hit by a Mack truck and die instantly. I'm just saying. Okay? But the reality of it is, none of us, few of us, will leave this earth on our terms. We will all leave this earth on God's terms. And his two words to us are not, "Oh, it'll be okay. Don't you worry. I'll be there. I got your back. Big hug. Big hug now." No, what's he saying? He's saying, "Follow me. Just follow me. Just follow me." And somewhere on the journey, there's going to be a light that will appear, and it's going to be on heaven's shore. And next week, all of this I've been talking about is of the purpose where you and I are going to talk about heaven and what it's going to be like there. Because this is not heaven. If you know Christ, you are headed for heaven, and heaven is what it's all about. And so someone wrote a great song that says, "When engulfed by the terror of a tempestuous sea, unknown waves before you roll, at the end of doubt and peril is eternity, though fear and conflict seize your soul." And the chorus is, "But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home." Folks, that's called heaven. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Thomas looked at him and said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." I've got some news for you this morning. Your life is going to get worse. Ever hear a preacher say that? "Oh, I just feel like something good's about to happen." I can remember a guy saying that a lot. But you know what? Good things do happen. But as we age, as we get older, I don't know about you, but I know I'm a spectacular sight. Thank you for laughing. But I'm not what I used to be. And I'm looking around at some of you that have been here for 25 years with us. No offense, you're not what you used to be. We're not. Now, that doesn't mean our soul isn't prospering, because it is. But our bodies are not. And in this earth, we will have tribulation. But guess what? If you know Christ, you're going to get to see him and live with him for all eternity. And if I were you, I'd not trade heaven for the world. If you think this is heaven, you can have it. But you are an idiot. I recommend Jesus Christ in knowing the best is yet to come. Heavenly Father, we love you. We happen to believe that there is a heaven that's just as real as this earth. We happen to believe that there was a man named Jesus Christ who came to earth, left the thrones of glory, came down here in the form of a man, lived and died and rose again. God in the flesh took our place. And because he took our place, if we will trust him as his our Savior, then he will pay our sin debt, put it on his account. He becomes sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. All I had to give him was my sin. All he had to give me was his righteousness. Now God sees me perfect because of his Son. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you that you can have a wonderful life. It's just not now. It's in the future. It's in heaven with Jesus Christ and the place that he has prepared for you. But he's only got a prepared place for those that know him as their personal Savior. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, let me encourage you to say these words: Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. And we'll say thank you for hearing my prayer. I want to...